Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what's happening in the stars, what's happening in the sky above, what's happening for the weekend. And I'm really kind of excited because it is going to be an easy weekend. I love it, right? I think it's maybe a blessing from the sky gods to keep us safe and give us a little breather before the eclipse happens on Tuesday. So today's an easy day. Tomorrow should be an easy day. And Sunday should be an easy day. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't, little bumps going on in the sky with the moon, but there aren't any other big planetary energies. It's almost like that pause before the big one, right? The big one coming on Tuesday with that eclipse. So today, that gives me some breathing room to be able to talk to you guys about the eclipses and to do a couple of chart readings. I can't believe it. Only two people reached out and wanted me to look at their charts. Yowza, I don't believe that. Maybe we did a good job of talking about it. Everybody knows what, is going on in their charts. So if I have time, I have my card deck sitting with me. We can do some readings there. So let's just jump right in. Let's say good morning to a couple of people. Good morning, Linda. It's good to see you. And Angela, good to see you today. And Patricia, we love easy days. Yes, we do. Mimi, good morning from the gallery. Yay. Good morning. And Debbie Tibbetts-Toomeal, good morning to you. I got to tell you, I almost knew this before I even looked at anything this morning that this is going to be a good day because I woke up and I was really excited. I have all these things going on. Remember when it was my birthday last week and I said that I was th this year I was an emotional manifester. And I'm always a generator, so I'm never losing the generator part, but there's this emotional manifester part of me that's being triggered for the entire year. So I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I've got that book to read. Oh my God, I've got that book to read. Oh my God, I've got that thing to write. Oh my God, I've got that program I want to do. I was so filled with ideas and so filled with excitement about all of the things that I could do. And I had to stop myself and step back and go, okay, you can be excited, but you only have so much time, so much energy, and you are also a generator. You don't need to get involved in 15 million things, start them all, and never finish them. Right, that's more of the manifester. They're the initiators, and then they, pass the ball on to someone else. Well, in a business like mine, I don't really have anybody to pass the ball to. So I have to be very careful about what I enter into because of the excitement level right now. And then I pulled the chart for today, and I see what is it? We're all emotional manifestors today. So it was pretty funny that I was feeling that way. This is exactly the setup that was in my chart on my birthday, as far as what was triggering the emotional manifester. And it's that connection from the throat, gate 12, down to the gate 22, where Neptune has been sitting long term on the emotional center. And what's at gate 12 is Venus. So, luckily, I mean, Venus is this makes this good energy. Right. This is really good connection. This is good emotional energy. Now, for some of you who've told me in your life that you sometimes have felt like you were bipolar or I guess it is called manic depressive. Maybe that's bipolar. I don't know. But irregardless of the psychological terms, this is a channel that when it's activated can get you up on that high and then drop you like a bomb onto the other side. So if you're like me today and feeling that high, let me give you the date where it may end. And I don't want you to feel like, oh, life is over. It's just that that cycle is done. And wow, wouldn't you know it, it ends on the day of the eclipse, July 2nd. Yay. So just know that if you're on this high today, try not to make any big decisions. Make decisions, that are in alignment with your true type, not with what you're resonating with today. And that is that the day is resonant with manifestor energy. And if you make decisions based on that energy, if unless of course you're a manifestor, which only 8% of you out there are, so not very many of you, then you might be sorry later, right? When reality comes to call. So make sure I'm going to make sure, right? Because I already know I feel this coming. I'll try to take on everything. And I have the sacral energy, the vitality to be able to do it. But do I have the long-term sustainable, energy to do that many things because I'm not a manifesting generator. I need more tunnel vision, if you will, on what it is that I do. And so I'm going to be very cautious about that, even though I'm going to be excited about everything under the sun. I'm going to let myself be excited, but I'm only going to take action on the things that I know are correct, and correct means that I feel like I have a real connection to. All right. Good morning, Colleen. Debbie says she's tired as heck. Debbie, you've been dealing with some stuff and, you know, emotional stuff from friends, from family, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised that you are feeling that emotional backwash today. So don't take it seriously. Just give yourself the time to rest, right? Get that book out and sit and read your book. You know, eat good foods, sit outside if you can. I know it's really hot there right now, so maybe sitting outside isn't the best thing, but take care of yourself. Good morning, Jennifer Peachy. Good morning, Allison. It's great to see you. She's feeling great today too, Allison. I would expect that because you're a Sagittarius, if I'm correct. Yes, December 14th is your birthday. And yeah, so of course you're feeling, you're almost exactly opposing me in the human design and in astrology. So I get it. Good morning, Debbie Hedden. Good morning, Sarah Ravenseye. Good to see you. Haven't seen you in a few days. Vanita, great to see you too. Ashley and Colleen, I don't remember if I said good morning to you, but to everyone out there, good morning. And I hope you're all finding yourselves in a good position today for the weekend to have some fun, to take care of playfulness instead of seriousness. Ashley says, so it's okay for manifesting generators and manifestors. Well, yes, because manifesting generators, if you will, and Ashley, I don't remember what you are right now. I'm not sure about you, but so you take this, however, manifesting generators are kind of the jugglers, right? They take on, they actually do better when they have more things to do. Somehow it organizes their thinking or organizes their actions. And so they're multitasking. And generators versus the generators who are not really multitaskers, right? We have a vast amount of energy, and just like the manifesting generators, but we are more singular in what it is that we can do with that energy. You know, starting 15 projects is not a good idea for a generator because you're meant to take something from the start to the finish. Manifesting generators may start a lot of different things, and there's just a few of them that they will take from start to finish. Manifestors are initiators. They start the ball rolling and then they hand it off to a generator or to a manifesting generator to get it done, or to a projector to lead in their stead. So totally different energies. And what I was talking about is that today the energy, anybody being born today, or at least within the next couple of hours, will be this, an emotional manifester. And that means that they have the energy for initiation, but they initiate those things and only follow through with those things that really feel good to them, that are deep, you know, that they're deeply connected to through their emotional field. So I hope that makes sense for everybody. Sarah says, I understand, Debbie, I have felt like a hamster on a wheel, dealing with a lot of people leaning on me emotionally as well. Yo, that's difficult, Sarah. Make sure you take care of yourself in all of this. And is it really appropriate for you to be dealing with other people's emotional stuff? And maybe it is. Maybe these are clients. Maybe these are family members or good friends. And sometimes that's what it is. Just make sure that you don't become their feelings or their emotions. You know, let it move through you. Don't hold on to any of that, so that you don't end up having to hold on to energy that isn't yours and then let that energy take you down. Right? You don't need that. Okay. Ashley, 5-1 emotional manifesting generator. Exactly. Okay, Ashley. So you're a balancer, right? You get to juggle, and maybe you spaghetti throw a bit. Maybe you throw a few things out there and see what sticks. And then whatever sticks is what you focus your energy on. That's kind of the manifesting generator way. But the manifesting generator, and this is, I don't know how we got into this conversation, but this is a really good point. If you're a manifesting generator, you do physically, health-wise, much better when you have more things to do, because otherwise you're kind of like, you know, trying to hold lightning in a jar, and all of that high energy just pings around inside your body, you know, moving from organ to organ, from system to system, and not in a healthy way, right? Usually in a way that's cutting you up in some way, cutting up your energy in some way. So you really do have to have many things out there that you are interested in, that you're focused on, and the ones that stick are the ones that you will eventually hold to and you know, take from start to finish. But you really do so much better when you have lots to do as opposed to nothing to do, right? That's more dangerous. I had a friend one time who was a manifesting generator. He wasn't working, and he, you know, the biggest thing of his day was taking a walk. And I knew that this was leading to trouble because he was a manifesting generator. And I kept trying to tell him, you need to get a job. You need to have friends. You need to go out and be associating with things. You even just, you know, doing something, projects that, you know, you might do on your own. And, you know, eventually he ends up with high blood pressure. He ends up ill, right? Having some kind of an arthritis issue going on. And it's because he wasn't expending all of that energy. It was building up inside of him and just pinging around, doing damage instead of being expressed. So anyway, good morning, Latricia. And Debbie, hugs, hugs, hugs. I'm guessing she's giving Sarah hugs because they're both commiserating, feeling the same. And yeah. So if you're not at the high end of the scale today, that is okay too, right? You've got to do what you need to do for you. Today's a great day for self-care and to allow yourself the time to heal if that's necessary, or to just recoup your energy if that's necessary. Today, the moon is in Taurus. And Taurus energy is it's a slower energy. Ugh. And as soon as I say that, some Taurus is going to tell me, no, it's not. I have lots of energy. But Taurus itself is the bull. Now, how often in looking at the bull do you see it cavorting around, right? It's mostly, you know, lumbering through, maybe feeding on some grass, maybe mating, and then resting again. Right, or just standing still. If we look at the animal or the symbol that represents the sign, we get a kind of idea of that energy of that sign. So it's one that's really in tune with that energy that we talk about of, you know, how animals or dogs or cats, they play, 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 and then they come to a stop and they rest, or they might go get some water or some food, and then they come back and they lay down, and then a few minutes later it's back up and they're play, 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 right? They're in tune with this natural order or natural flow of energy. So today the moon in Taurus is in flow maybe with the energy of rest, then play, then rest, then work, then rest, then play. So that's the order of the day, if you will, that kind of energy. Even for me, as bouncy as I feel this morning, at some point, maybe I will come to a point where I've got to, you know, switch gears and come down from that sky high cloud and be real, right? Maybe it's a nap day. I don't know, because right now I'm on that high. And tomorrow or later today may be a completely different energy. So I'm okay with that. Debbie says, fits me. She's a 3-degree Taurus. She is indeed. Rest, rest, rest. And that is the correct energy for this Taurus moon even. Now today, Taurus moon is also in a trine to Saturn and in a sextile to Neptune. Now, Saturn is in an earth sign as well. And earth signs very much understand this flow, this ebb and flow of energy. So Saturn is supportive of that. But Saturn always says too, that you have to see to your duties and your responsibilities. And yet there is also, sometimes we forget this, that Saturn that's in Roman mythology, in Greek mythology, I believe, is named Kronos. Kronos after the word, which is related to the word time. And time, right? So Saturn and time. And to everything, there is a season, right? So there's a time for work, there's a time for play, there's a time for rest. And it's different for every one of you. So we're tuning into that perhaps today. And the sextile to Neptune gives us the ability to be spiritual, to see from all the levels, what is it we need? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it emotional? What kind of support do we need out there this morning and or today? So that's what's happening in the sky today. And that's it. There's no other planets involved. I guess there is a We haven't talked about these kinds of transits before, but Mercury is in a trine as well today to the goddess Ceres. So Ceres, the mother goddess, the goddess of abundance, of the harvest, if you will. She's definitely a mother goddess. Her daughter would have been Persephone, or there was another name for Persephone. So you understand the myth. This was the myth of the daughter that was taken away, married off to Hades, lived in the underworld. Ceres, or Demeter, was like furious and upset, and she refused to bring the earth into fullness. And so the gods ended up making a deal with Hades that Persephone could live 6 months of the year above with her mother, and 6 months under the in the underworld with Hades. And thus the reason why we have seasons of fertility and a season of barrenness. So interesting myth, but it also answers the question here: what is going on with Ceres? Well, she's moved into the sign of Sagittarius. So we're looking at the ebb and flow, perhaps, of our beliefs, of what we cling to. And with Mercury ruling the mind and also our communication and slowing down to retrograde, we may have an internal time where we are reevaluating our beliefs and how we entertain the things that we do in the world. I'm really interested in these goddesses, by the way, and I'm working on, and this is one of those ideas that I have to put on the back burner for a little bit, and probably you won't see much more about this until we get closer to August, because I wanted to launch this in September, a webinar series on the goddesses, in that the goddesses and the planets that they represent are where we are now embodying the divine feminine. Before, we were rising the divine feminine, right? The feminine was rising, and that's the talk you heard for several years. But now, as I'm looking at how these planets are beginning to interact with the known planets, right? The masculine planets, and creating squares and oppositions, and as more of that's coming into our awareness, I want to do a webinar about that. About embodying the energy of Pallas Athena, Ceres, Venus, and the moon, of course, we're familiar with, but also Sedna and a couple of the other goddesses. I have a whole list: Ceres, Eris, Black Moon Lilith, Pallas Athena, the White Moon Selene, Sedna, the Moon Venus, Juno, and Vesta. Wow, that's going to be a huge webinar. And my friend Cornelia and I are working on that in tandem, her coming from her position, but me coming from more of the astrological and the mythological, to support our move into embodying all of the characteristics and the archetypes of these particular planets. I'm really excited about that. So yeah, Goddess Ceres, exactly, Colleen. And I think we'll probably call it something like embodying the goddess in all of her forms, because some of these forms are not quite so kissy kissy lovey lovey, right? Eris, goddess of discord and strife, the Black Moon Lilith, the shadow. There's even, there's Sedna. What a tragic myth she is. And what does that mean for us? And how do we embody all of these parts, of the feminine that were kind of broken off and spread about, in order for the patriarchy to rise, or the divine masculine to have its say, its time. So that's coming up. And I mean, I keep getting chill bumps when I think about doing that series. So I know it's important for all of us to look at that. And so I'll be doing a deep dive into the myths and into the archetypes of those divine goddesses and how they're represented in bodies now through the sky. Okay. Good morning, Elisa, and anybody else who's joined us that I didn't see out there. Good morning, Willa. Great to see all of you this morning. Let's turn and look at Saturday. Saturday, the moon is still in Taurus until 2:39 p.m. Well, no, that's not true. The moon is in Taurus tomorrow, and we have a void, of course, moon from 2:39 p.m. East Coast time to 5:10 p.m. when the moon moves out of Taurus and into Gemini. This is why I think the weekend will be so awesome, because we have very few major contacts going on with the moon and any of the biggies, right? Taurus and Gemini are sort of out of the way of those Cancer planets and the Capricorn planets. And so we have some better energy, and Gemini energy is much more flirty, social, and playful than it than what other weekends that we've had where we are dealing with some of those heavy energies. So tomorrow, the heaviest energy happens likely early in the day, and that is the moon in a trine to Pluto and a sextile to Mars. Now, neither one of those particular contacts are negative at all, but Pluto involved sometimes gives us that momentary emotional connection to something. Maybe it's a power struggle. Maybe it's an emotional upset. But it's the moon that's connecting to Pluto. And so this too shall pass. And it gives way to the afternoon, where the moon comes into a sextile with Mercury. And that makes it much more fun. Tomorrow night, I would imagine, would be, tomorrow night. I keep forgetting this is Friday day. Yay. Tomorrow night becomes much more social. And, you know, if you're going out to dinner, or you're going to a party or a movie or something like that, or hanging out with friends, it'll be a really good time. My daughter will be hanging around a campfire. Hopefully, it's not raining on the on it. So people gathering and getting together and having some fun. And then Sunday, all day, the moon is in Gemini and in an opposition to Jupiter. So about the only thing you have to watch out for on Sunday is overdoing something, getting too much sun, drinking too much, eating too much, talking too much, doing too much working, and then you hurt yourself. And I mean, literally indulge a little, right? That's kind of what this is about. Indulge a little, not a lot. But the moon and an opposition to Jupiter is really good again for socializing and for getting out and about, right? Maybe having conversations with people that you don't normally talk to. Maybe you're out in the grocery store, or you're at a workshop or something that is new and exciting, and there's a lot of people that you can talk about or talk to. It could be a great time to share ideas. Follow your curiosity into new territory, that kind of thing, right? So, very good energy for us over the weekend. The Pleiadian Earth energy, and dang it, I forgot to look up what that star meant, guys. If one of you actually had the book and looked that up and have that to report back to us, please do. I think Asa, you might have been looking at it. I don't even know if Asa's in here this morning with us. Yeah, it is an easy weekend. I hope it's an easy weekend. I'm moving, and the last 24 hours have been crazy. Mercury's bringing up a lot of ex drama. My ex's ex egged my car last night. Are we juveniles? I mean, I haven't done that since I was a teenager. Oh my goodness. Or heard about that. I didn't really egg anybody's anything. I toilet papered people's houses, though. I was a cheerleader in high school, and we, the night before big games, we would go out to the football players' homes and we would toilet paper their trees. Of course, I grew up in Southern California, so you know, it was warmer, wasn't raining, so you could put toilet paper out there and it would be there in the morning. It wouldn't have, you know, washed away into nothing. So that was about the worst I ever did. But I mean, that just seems so juvenile, Ashley. You're so best done without him. And yeah, it will be an easier weekend. My warning to you would be just to take care of yourself, right? Moving is a huge undertaking, and aren't you hurt, right, from work, you, or something, you were injured? So I want you to take care and let other people do the big stuff, right? Don't overdo anything, right? Take care. Get rest, then work. Take rest, then work. Make sure you feed yourself. Make sure you take rest when you need it, and don't overwork. Okay, and I know, you know, easy to say when you're looking at a house that needs to get moved over here. So take care. Now let's look at the Pleiadian Earth energy for the weekend. Today, June 28th, it's a five enlightening. And I love this energy. Five is the energy of change, surprises, maybe upsets in those ingrained patterns that we have. You know, those patterns, the things that I'm always doing the same thing, and I'm looking at my life going, why do I keep doing that? Finally, I look at it and I'm like, why do I keep doing that? Why does that keep showing up? So today's a great day to change, to disrupt those patterns. This is the five universal energy. So we are all resonating with that energy, all life forms. The enlightening part of that is also from Mayan astrology, Ahau. And Ahau was a symbol of the king, right? The king or the ruler of the society. And it also represented social progress. So the society, the culture was always organized, at least in that time, around the king and around the spiritual leader who was called the shaman and or the jaguar spirit or Ish. And so Ahau or Ahau is about enlightening, right? Enlightening, committing to ideals and refusing to get pulled into that polarized energy. And it'll be interesting for those of you who have a lot going on this weekend to see. I mean, obviously moving for you, Ashley, is a huge change, and it might begin today, I'm guessing, if you're moving over the weekend, you're in the process of packing, maybe loading trucks, etc. So committing to ideals that break you out of patterns, old patterns, that's today's energy. On Saturday, the 29th, it's a six, right? We're moving up in the numbers. It's a six being, which in Mayan astrology was Emish. Emish was the alligator or the crocodile, and it represented birth. It represented a new beginning. It represented the creative energy, the reproductive energy to put toward birthing something. And the people who had Emish were considered to be mothers or nurturing types of people. Even if it was a male that had this energy, they were imbued with this creative birthing energy. And the number six, the universal energy for tomorrow, is about flow, right? Traveling, movement, right? Actually taking and moving somewhere. I mean, it's all kind of right and perfect for, you know, Ashley in this move. But also for all of us. The only thing we really have to watch out for with Emish energy or with being energy is getting into neediness, being reactive, right? This is also viscerally emotional energy. And if we get reactive or we become judgmental or critical of others or critical and judgmental of ourselves, then we're feeding into the negative expression of this energy. So we want to be creative. We want to be nurturing, whether we are nurturing others or nurturing ourselves, right? It's all part and parcel, all part of tomorrow's energy. And then on the 30th, Sunday, can't believe we're at the end of June this weekend, guys, will be the seven energy. And with seven energy is merging and breathing, merging, breathing. So the seven merging is about universally adopting a conscious of merging your consciousness with all beings, with all of the planet, plants, animals, minerals, rocks, water, trees, you name it, right? That sensing the belonging, how we all belong to one another, with one another, how we can merge our consciousness with all life, right? All life on the planet, all life in the spheres, all life in the universe, because it's universal energy. Now, breathing was related to Ik or Ike in Mayan astrology, which was the wind, the representation of the wind in Pleiadian. It's the representation of the breath. And right, the in-breath and the out-breath, the flow. And in that, being able to see multiple viewpoints, right? To see the rightness of how whatever is happening is happening in its right and perfect timing, happening in its right way, taking in the new information that might be available, and then breathing that back out, sharing it, spreading it to others. And that is the energy of Sunday. None of those 3 days seem particularly terrible. The only thing I'm worried about a little bit on Saturday is that, remember, we had that trine to Pluto, and that can make for some emotional stuff going on between people. And then, of course, we have the needy, reactive, possibly judgmental or critical energies on that same day as in the shadow energy, if you will, of the Pleiadian Earth energy for that day. So just, you know, that's a minor bit, really a minor blip on the screen. But just know if you're feeding into somebody else's emotional stuff, that you can choose to break that off, right? You can have empathy, you can have sympathy and compassion, but that doesn't mean that you have to solve their issues. It doesn't mean that you have to take in and make that emotional stuff yours. And right, remember today, everybody, whether you have an open emotional center or not, you have a defined one today, actually for the next several days, because Venus right here is there till July 2nd. And that completes this channel because neither Neptune or Venus are moving over the weekend. So we are emotional beings this weekend. So if you have an open emotional center, you are already aware, I'm sure, of how you are an empath and how you're sucking in that energy and tending to hold on to it at times and make it yours. But you're really meant to just understand the emotional energy that's happening around you, tapping into it, but not making it yours. My teacher said she called it being the screen door and not the sponge, right? So you're just letting it flow through you and it touches all the little parts of the screen, informing you of its energy, but it doesn't stick. It blows through, right? You're not absorbing it and holding onto it like a sponge would. Okay, I hope that helps. Let's see. Kathy Miller, good morning. Ouch, I'm in a very emotional exchange with a few people on Facebook. I'm so bad because I enjoy stirring the pot. I'm not even treading into that one, Kathy. All I can say is sometimes that comes, never mind. I would question whether you really, is it worth it to stir the pot, right? What are you doing that for? If it's because you need a sense of excitement or something, try something new, because literally getting into arguments and altercations on Facebook is counterproductive. And if by stirring the pot, maybe you are sending out an alternative viewpoint to someone else's, then let's make it positive and a way to open discussion and not as an attack. I can't imagine you attacking. I can imagine you stirring the pot, though. I just can't imagine you attacking. So hopefully that these are positive exchanges and not negative exchanges that you're creating. Debbie says, don't swim out too far in the ocean. Watch the riptides. They have been bad. If you see red flag warnings, don't swim. On the Gulf Coast, we've had 7 drownings in the last 2 weeks. Have fun and be safe. Great, great reminder for those of us that live along the water. The water gets stirred up and sometimes it's deep and you don't even see how it's been stirred up. So that's a good one, Debbie. Good morning, Anne. Oh my gosh, I've never seen you here in the morning. She said, it's very hard to differentiate that when the emotional stuff is coming up from people close to you. Yeah, I got it. Emotional energy is, it's new on this planet. New, relatively speaking, in the grand scheme of the ancientness of who we are, the emotional center is a fairly new center. And so we're like babies in this way. We don't really know how to use emotional energy positively. And yet we're having to learn that because we're moving to an evolutionary leap that comes in 2027 that is changing fundamentally how we entertain the energy of life on this planet. And it's through the emotional center. So we're having to learn how to do this, right? How do we work with the energy of emotion? And the energy of emotion is more like a compass, right? A compass. And in that compass, it's turning around, right? You see the arrow on a compass turning and it's showing you it finally lands on what direction, you know, true north is. I've never really used a compass, so I'm guessing true north, right? And your emotions then are kind of telling you what's going on here and tap yourself into what am I feeling, right? So if it's landing on anger or upset, then you've got to stop for the moment and look within you and go, where's this coming from? Is it I was triggered by somebody else's anger? Was it this is me getting angry about being triggered emotionally? And what do I do with that? Well, I breathe, first of all, before I blurp it out there onto somebody else. And then next, I take steps to self-soothe or take care of myself. Or if I recognize that this is the energy coming at me from someone else, I again choose what am I going to do with this energy? Really, if I'm smart, I'm going to just let this energy roll through me, right? Because it isn't mine. So we're like babes here in how do we deal with this emotional energy? Because what we've been doing is like a 2-year-old would do, we react, right? Or a teenager would react by throwing eggs at someone's car. Really? How dumb, right? And how destructive. So we have to learn how to deal with our emotions. And in a way, the more we embrace emotional energy, the easier this lesson becomes, right? Because we're all going to have to learn how to do this, whether it's in this lifetime or not, right? And it's a process of maturing, right? We're maturing through this. But that emotional energy is really a tell about what's going on. You know how, oh God, if Donna Blevins was here with us this morning, she could tell us she's a poker player. She could tell us all about the poker face, right? And the tells that we all have on our faces or in our mannerisms that change based on, in this case, the cards that we're holding. In our conversation here this morning, then our poker faces change in relation to the energy of emotions. And it t immediately informs you of something. What is it informing you of? Then, if you pause long enough, you'll see whether this is something that's meant for you or not. If it is meant for you, then you are able to respond to the emotion. And if it isn't for you, you're able to release that emotion. I hope everybody's catching that. Angela says, thanks, Debbie. We are bringing 3.5 kiddos. How do you have 3.5 kiddos? That's cute. Maybe one's a baby. After the second sandbar, you are basically shark bait. Yowza. I don't want to go swimming in that water at all. Maybe I'll just wade in water. I'm not even going to be near water this weekend. No. So good. Kathy, yes, I'm getting tired of it. I have tried to give alternatives to a fellow, but he chooses to attack. I am choosing to laugh now. I haven't been mean. Going to stop as you are right. I am acting like a 2-year-old. I love you, Kathy. I just love you. I love all of you. But Kathy, sometimes you just make me laugh because you are so honest and about what's going on with you. I love it. Okay, so let's see. Anne, I hope that helped you. And I know emotional energy is coming at us from our loved ones as well. And you can only do so much. Maybe all they need is for your presence there to help them, to help nurture them, to hold them in that space. But do not take it on yourself. It isn't yours. All right. Ashley. Okay, I think I've caught. Good morning, Michelle. Good to see you out there this morning. Okay, I think that's it for everybody. So now I want to shift gears a little bit to the eclipses. And let's see, we are doing 8:37. Okay, so we have time here. I have a couple of people whose charts I've got with me. And you want to hear something funny, Patricia? So in the morning, I print charts, right? I print the daily chart. And then this morning, I printed two charts for the people who wanted readings this morning. And I finish getting my makeup on and my hair done, and I sit down and I start writing all this good stuff. But I ended up writing all this stuff on top of your chart, Patty, not the chart of the day. So I'm going to have to tease through all of the stuff on your chart to get to what's the truth for you. And so we're looking at the eclipse energy. So let's do a quick, primer on the energy that's happening here for an eclipse. An eclipse is a time that happens, there's two of them, potentially. A solar eclipse, which occurs only at a new moon. It is when the sun and the earth come together and they are at the same degree. I'm sorry, the sun and the moon come together at the same degree of the sky. And when that happens close enough to the north or the south nodes, we get an eclipse. And typically that happens about 6 times a year. I mean, every 6 months, twice a year. Okay, twice a year. And we are getting into eclipse season right now. And this particular eclipse will happen at 10 degrees of Cancer. So that's also the new moon, right? The new moon. So we have opportunities opening up for us. We have new pathways opening up for us. And I find it interesting, Ashley, that you're really going to be sitting in a new home at this new moon and the eclipse. So how fun is that, right? Something new opening up for you, a new opportunity. Patricia, that is also the case in your chart, right? The fourth house is where Cancer is in your chart. And 10 degrees of Cancer is smack dab right there in the middle of that house. And it's all about home, family, traditions, setting up a new foundation, putting down roots. And those roots need to be built on a strong foundation, as seen from the opposite sign, which is Capricorn, which has Saturn and Pluto in it. So we're digging deep. We're saying, whatever it is that we're going to do, we are laying a template that needs to be structurally sound, right? That needs to be structurally able to withstand everything that is thrown at us, whether it's changes, health issues, winds, earthquakes, fires, floods. You've got my idea right here that this is something that you're doing, that you're building that is sound. So you're making sound decisions and building a sound foundation for safety, security, and nurturing that, right? You set the, it's enough to build it. I mean, it's not just enough to build it. You have to then nurture it and keep it strong and watch for cracks in the foundation, etc. So the eclipse for you is in a really good place, Patricia, for moving, and kind of redirecting. I think you said in the last email I got from you that this is even putting you in an area where your family is, where your kids live. And that's perfect, right? Reconnecting with family, reconnecting with your roots. And then not long after the eclipse, Venus also will move out of Gemini and into Cancer. She's going to move through that sign and, shore it all up for us, ease our path forward in the building and the holding on to that new foundation. Right, the shoring it up, the strengthening of that foundation. So for you, the solar eclipse is in a very good place for doing exactly what it is that you're doing, that moving, that relocating, particularly because your south node is also in that sign. So it's later, it's 5 degrees beyond the eclipse point. But I want to say that in a way, what this is doing for you is bringing you back home. It's like you've been on a journey, and that journey is taking you to places, maybe meeting new people, and now it's time to complete the journey and come home and now integrate all of those experiences, maybe passing on your wisdom, passing, helping that generation of people that you brought into the world to, move on through the next time period. So it's almost perfectly eloquent, poetic even, what's happening in your chart. And literally, I could look at this and say, there's not a whole lot of issues around this. I do want to give you one warning, and that is that Mars is in your chart at the opposite end of this eclipse. And Mars can make accidents, right, when we're not conscious. So I want you to be in your body in every moment, and I want you to stay in your body in every moment and be aware, stay conscious. And if you are noticing that your body is getting tired, or that you're, sort of, you get that feeling of the haziness and you're nodding off, stop what you're doing and rest, because Mars will give you that energy. It will give you that stamina, but it can also cause you to overdo things. So be very mindful of that. I don't know where you live, and I kind of know where you're going. I don't know how far of a move that is. So if you're having to drive a long distance or something, build in rests. And don't go beyond what you are feeling in your body is okay for you. All right, that'll keep you safe. Other than that, perfect timing for you to be doing this. All right, now the other reading I'm doing today is for a woman named Sean. And Sean, this is for you. I know you're not able to listen live, and that's okay because I can tell you exactly where this is happening in your chart. And I see why it was that you might have been a little concerned about it, but really you don't have to be concerned, Sean, about this particular eclipse. It is happening in a place that is broadening your horizons. It's in your ninth house, which is the house of higher thinking, of higher education, of gaining altitude in your perspective, of being able to see things from that higher perspective. It's like tapping into your inner knowing, or it's like tapping momentarily into God's perspective and being able to look down here at your life and on this planet and see what's next. Now, For you, the sign of Cancer then is where this is happening for everybody, by the way. But for you, Cancer is on that ninth house. Capricorn, the opposite sign, then is in the third house, and where you may need to do some work during the next two eclipses, this one and the one on July 16th, which is a lunar eclipse, is in working with your mind. And the mind, even though you have no planets in that house by birth, I want you to look at what it is that you're focusing on with your mind. Is your mind supporting you, or is your mind undermining you? And the reason I ask you that is because you have a ton of planets in the 12th house. And the 12th house is the house of the hidden, the house of self-sabotage, literally the house of bondage or prisons. And what we find in that house is it turns out it's a house of bondage and prisons of your own making. And you also have the key. In your particular chart, Pluto, North Node, Pallas Athena, the Sun, and Mercury are all piled into that one place. So you have a lot of letting go, releasing yourself from self-made prisons. Now, you could even argue that if you were imprisoned, let's say, and I don't think this is the case, but if you were literally in a prison, let's say, that it was also self-made, right? You can't not take responsibility for whatever the prison is that you find yourself in. So the eclipse pattern then hopefully is helping you elevate that perception of what you have in your power to be able to change, and also to help you look at the third house and say, what is the pattern that is in here? What do I think? Right? What do I think about? If I'm constantly thinking about what I don't have, who is always hurting me in my life, or what I can't do, then I am perpetuating that. I am making that more powerful and stronger. I am deepening the time I'm going to be spending in that damn prison. So this is the time. Release yourself from that prison, right? It's a prison, like I said, of your own making. Now, sometimes I look at a chart like that and I see, okay, this is, by the way, all in Libra in your 12th house. So Libra being the sign that squares Capricorn, that squares Cancer, and opposes Aries, right? Last couple of days, the moon moving through Aries must have been tough for you. It would have been triggering all of these kinds of things. The eclipse pattern across Cancer and Capricorn will be triggering all those places where you're holding yourself as prisoner. Okay? And I wish I had you to talk back to me. This morning. So I invite you to email me back after you get to hear this. Maybe you can help me define better what your prison is, and I can help you find that key, right? The key that is going to unlock that door. In a strange quirk of happenstance, the planet Chiron is opposite of your house of prisons, and it is the key, right? Chiron, the symbol is that of a key. Here's the symbol. If you guys can see the symbol for Chiron. Right, Chiron looks like a K on top of a circle. Dang it, I don't know how to get this more. There it is, right there. So, Chiron symbol, that is a key. Your key is in the sixth house, and it's about doing the work on you, right? Getting yourself out of that prison. And I understand you were, let's see, how old are you? 2019. You must be right around 40 something. You might be at your what, 42? So you're in your midlife crisis, I would bet, which is that Uranus opposing Uranus. Let me look at your chart again here. You will be. That's also coming up. So it's time for you to change your life. It's time for you to reconnect with something that's really true for you. And you definitely may need some help with that. So I would advise you to either you can get an astrology reading, you can get some counseling or a coach to help you move through this time period. But I think, Sean, for you, that would be really important. All right. And again, if you have any questions, you can email me, and we can talk some more about that. Okay, how's everybody doing out there? Michelle says I had to that too. Better now. Okay. Sarah said, I should have messaged you on Messenger yesterday about my chart reading. Maybe that wasn't a good way to communicate. Is email better? I didn't get a Messenger message from you, I don't think. Usually it would pop up and tell me. I didn't see it, and I don't have one. So usually email, I posted my email yesterday for everybody to send that to me. But I can pull your, I think, Sarah, do I know your real last name, or did I put you under that? Let me check and see here really quickly. If I have it, I'll pull it up. I have time. So just one moment, Sarah. I done a reading for you before? I do. I have you. I got you. So one moment while I set the chart in motion here. And then it will pop up. There we go. Okay, so Sarah. Okay, so I get what's going here with you as well. 10 degrees though, that's going to put it here. And okay, so you have a sort of similar situation to Sean that we were just talking about, but a little bit different. So let me see if I can set this up for you and explain what's going on here. Your eclipse is going to happen in the fifth house of joy, play, creativity, heart-centeredness, love, romance. And it's going to happen very close to your south node. So almost feels to me like there's a grand opportunity here to release yourself from some karma from the past. And there may be many instances in your life right now where you could resonate with a sort of a pattern of letting go. And that is what this new moon eclipse is going to be all about for you, letting go, clearing the way for you to have more fun, for you to be more creative, and to engage that energy of creativity, joy, play, romance. And it requires a little bit of risk on your part. You may have to hang your butt out there on the line a little bit to get to that point. Now, on the opposite side of that eclipse, over at 10 degrees of Capricorn, is the planet Uranus. Exactly at 10 degrees. And your north node, then very close to Uranus at 12 degrees. So there's destiny calling here. And I'm wondering, have you had some kind of upset? Is there something big that's happened or changed in your life that you are having to work with right now? Because the next stop for this energy is in your 12th house. I mean, literally, Pluto and Saturn are already there. So they're already spotlighting that prison of your own making. And you are born in 1991, so you're very close to your first Saturn return. And I can see that Saturn today is sitting at 18 degrees. So I can almost pinpoint for you exactly when your Saturn return is. And that's on December 21st of 2020. So, about a year and a half from now, you will have that Saturn return. So right now, what you're doing is in the process of releasing yourself from whatever it is that doesn't fit. What is it that doesn't resonate with you? Is it where you're living? Is it your relationships? Is it your job? Is it the way you think? What is it, right? Because literally, you're going to have to break out of this. Now, the other girl that we were talking about, Sean, she's a little bit older here. She's already gone through that first Saturn return. The first Saturn return is really about returning yourself to or pointing yourself in the direction of being a mature, responsible adult. Now, I don't mean to say that you're not mature and not responsible. That's not my point. But to be a mature, responsible adult means you steer your ship in the direction that you're meant to go, that you want to go. And so you're actually, sort of in a quick maturing phase, let's say. But a part of your maturing is also about digging through that closet, that darkness, right? That prison. And what have you locked yourself up into? And what can you release yourself? And you can release yourself rather quickly. Uranus is involved here. And that means surprises. It might mean upsets too. But I want you to understand the nature of Uranus in this eclipse for you is to supply the needed revolutionary impulse for you to make that change, for you to break out of that pattern, to break away. But it may take time for that to happen, right? So it may be initiated by something quickly, and it may seem very upsetting, and then it settles down into a point where you can make some key decisions. I hope that helps. I mean, I know on one hand, that doesn't sound like very good news. It sounds sort of difficult. But on the other hand, it's really helpful to have something sometimes that shakes you to your core, that makes you make that move to make that change. So, relationships and one from the past, and the job has been harder to find fulfillment, but I'm trying to be happy and content. I'm in more of a healthy place, but in a weird, isolated area where I can see the light around the corner. I think the light might be the beginning of your Saturn return that ultimately is going to break you out of some pattern, something. So let me look at that chart again one more time and see if there's some. Oops, that's not it. There we go. That I want to say about this. See, Pluto is also there. Oh, it's your black moon Lilith that's here. Woo. Okay, so now here's a question for you to contemplate, and not necessarily one you need to answer for us. And I don't know that answering it in the moment is a good thing anyway. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are you deeply afraid of? Is it that you are going to lose face somewhere, that someone is going to call you out, that your reputation will suffer, that people will look down on you? Or are you so engaged in what other people think about you that you're afraid to do what it is that you want to do? So just contemplate these. I don't, you can certainly email me if you want to. And have that kind of conversation. But I want you to really look at that. The Black Moon Lilith in Capricorn is always worried about her reputation. And so then often does things to make herself fit in rather than doing what's authentic and true for her. So I want you to look at that. And it could also be the other end, but I don't suspect this is it, where you constantly do things that stink up your reputation. I don't think that's where you are, but you may look at that too. And the pathway here is about authenticity and walking the straight line for you, not for someone else. All right. Bye, Kathy. Angela, curious about your input if you don't mind. I have today Pluto retrograde exactly on top of my natal Mars retrograde in the first house and Jupiter retrograde on top of just transited. Or on top of or just transited your natal Uranus in the 12th house. Holy shit, what prison are you releasing yourself from, Angela? Right? Where are you letting go? Where are you? It seems like you're embodying the energy of selfhood at this point in time. And I'm not sure how old you are, but this may be a very empowering time for you personally. And empowering yourself does not take away from anybody else. It's about you kind of differentiating and standing out in the crowd and growth orientation for you. And where do you want to go? I take it you have a family because it looked like you said your kids and your husband and you were all going to Florida for a vacation. So maybe contemplate while you're on that vacation about the things that make you you and what you want more of for you. Because it can only support your family for you to empower yourself. You empowering yourself does not take away from them, it enhances them. And I know from having been a mother of four children, often getting caught up in that kind of tug of war between family and self, right? Family and self. And then I often did this, I let go of self in favor of family. And not that I think I was wrong in that, but if I had known what I know now at that point in time, I would have done both, right? I would have supported myself because then I would have known that what I was doing was also supporting my family. So take a look at that for you. All right. That's my input there. And the retrograde gives you the opportunity to do that inner work. The retrogrades, all those planets that are retrograde there. Saturn, Pluto, your natal, your Mars was retrograde, and Uranus isn't retrograde. I'm not sure if you said Uranus was retrograde for you because now I've lost the sentence. Where was it? Natal Uranus retrograde. So, yeah, in the 12th house. So, you're having to unlock some other deep-seated things, past life possibly issues where you stayed hidden, or maybe you didn't stay hidden. And in this lifetime, you're like, I'm staying hidden. But I'm going to urge you to bring out more and more of you. Sarah says, thank you. Yes, I've been feeling this for a while without knowing when and how. It's now, Sarah. Okay, Angela, thank you. I appreciate the input. You're welcome. Most welcome. Ashley, I do also have Pallas at 5 degrees of Cancer and Vesta, 1 degree of Capricorn. So they're far enough away that they're not necessarily hit at this moment in time, but they'll have their day, right? They're far enough away. We need about 2 degrees of orb in a orb, meaning the space between the two planets, in order to have them really be activated during that time. And they may be activated before the actual eclipse, where maybe you start to look at how you fit in and all of the things that, need to be done for you. But they're not necessarily at the eclipse. But it'll be interesting as we study those pieces later. Allison is asking for a card reading for the weekend, and I'm indeed going to do that. Whoa. I have a card sliding around off the top. In fact, I may pull two, an animal spirit card and the Woto, Wisdom of the Oracle, for the weekend. Ashley says, I'm 33 too. Double threes. And it does. Good, 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 good. Thank God I can't take much more. new life. New life. Isn't that awesome to pull a card like that for the weekend as we're going into the window? And by the way, oh, two cards, milk and honey. Whoa. So new life is card number 39, which is a 12, which is a three. Milk and honey is in protection, and it is the card number 51, which is a six. And but it was in protection, so we'll take a look at that, both of those cards. And now what was I saying? I lost it. So let's read the card. New life 39. 39. So, the essential meaning is birth of new ideas, growth, opportunities, a breath of fresh air, and life renewing itself. When spring awakens the world, joy and excitement can be felt all around and in your very core. Blossoms burst from trees overnight, birds return home and sing their glorious song, and nature is full of promise. Miracles beckon all of us. This is one of those times in your life when new ideas inspire you and new opportunities bring you hope for seeing your dreams come true. All is well in your world, and you have the energy you need to feel renewed. Allow your heart to fill with enthusiasm. Let your light shine, for this is a time of good fortune. I love that for the weekend. And then milk and honey, even in upside down mode or protection, is still a really good card. 51 is, oh, hold on, let me tell you what the card means itself. It's the essential meaning is the taste of prosperity, opportunities born of authenticity, nurturing in abundance, trusting that your needs will be met. And in protection, it says, a nameless unease compels you to turn to pleasure and comfort as a means to escape what's really going on. It works in the moment, but only fleetingly before the feelings return and you need to re-up until you're exhausted. Feeling worse than before, you may continue struggling or you may see the light and choose to surrender to spirit. Now is the time for practicing extreme self-care. If you can, do so before you engage in behaviors you'll regret later. You are so loved, so cared for. Feel love and compassion for yourself. Turn your troubles over to the divine for healing. That's all that counts right now. Wow. I love it when the cards mirror everything that we've just been talking about, even in, personal readings for people. And let's draw an animal card to get us through this weekend. And let's see what we come up with here. Michelle, new life. It's a good day for blue hair. Good. I love that. Ooh, canary. And I'm not sure if this one's upside down or not. So we'll look at it this way. Canary says, sing your own song. Oops, I don't want that there. Put that here. And it's card number 12, which is the gate that Venus is sitting at here, right? So sing your own song, canary. So it says, are you suppressing your true voice, perhaps trying to sing the song you think people want to hear instead of your own? You create a cage around your life when you express only what you think will help you fit in and get what you think you want. Are you hiding the real you, telling a safe story about yourself to others because you are afraid they will think you are too different if they knew the truth? Canary Spirit comes to help you express yourself in a more honest and authentic way. Yes, not everyone will agree with you. In fact, not everyone will want to hear your originality or accept your uniqueness. You must not give this a single care. There will be plenty of people, opportunities, and wonderful new experiences that arrive as if by magic once you open your own cage door and fly free. I swear this is for Ashley and Sean, Sarah and Sean. Canary Spirit is cheering for you and wants you to know you are safe and loved. Find your voice and have the courage to spread your wings and sing out loud. The world needs your true song. I think there's something there for all of us there in that card, don't you think? As that is what we're being called to do, right? Why would we be called to claim our authority and live in our authenticity if not for the fact the world needs our particular song, our particular expression of that song? All right, guys. Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Take advantage of the fact there isn't much disturbing the force, and maybe do some contemplation if that's appropriate for you on some of these key themes. How can you release yourself from a prison and or your cage and sing your true song? And how can you tap into a new beginning and the land of milk and honey? All right, guys. Much love to everybody. Have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday morning, where we will maybe take another deeper look at the eclipse energy and what else is happening for us next week. All right, guys, take care. Bye for now.